Good morning. I'm Kevin Vance with a couple of regional news stories. President Trump has repeatedly and without evidence claimed mail-in ballots will lead to widespread fraud in November while saying that absentee ballots are safe. Cap Radio's PolitiFact California reporter Chris Nichols checked out whether there's any real difference between the two.
Here's President Trump making a distinction that election experts say is just plain wrong during a North Carolina telerally in late July.
The mail-in ballots are very dangerous. Absentee ballots are great because with an absentee ballot, you have to go out and you have to do a little work for it. You have to tell them, you have to give them information, you have to go get it if you're not able to vote.
Voters have been allowed to request what were traditionally called absentee ballots for decades. If they were sick, disabled, or traveling during the election, they could drop this ballot in the mail and participate. But Florida law professor and elections expert Darren Hutchinson says a majority of states no longer require voters to provide a reason to get an absentee ballot. And he says the term has been phased out in many states, including California, in favor of mail-in voting or vote by mail.
There's really no distinction. And so it's basically a falsehood that's been repeated over and over and over again.
Some states still do require voters to provide a reason when requesting an absentee ballot. But the safeguards and verification process is no different no matter the voting method. Here's Jessica Levinson of Loyola Law School in Los Angeles.
It is not the case that there is one bucket, like absentee balloting, that is much safer and then vote by mail just lacks all integrity or vice versa.
In the end, we found President Trump's statements are misleading and not grounded in fact. There is no substantial difference between absentee and mail-in voting. In Sacramento, I'm Chris Nichols.
Despite a steady rise in California's COVID-19 cases, most hospitals are not canceling surgeries, as Cap Radio's Sammy Caola explains.
When the pandemic started, Governor Gavin Newsom called on hospitals to cancel procedures that weren't absolutely necessary and then loosened the restrictions as infection rates slowed. Now that cases are surging, the state says it's letting hospitals decide whether to limit treatment for non-COVID-19 patients. Dr. Clifford Koh is a UCLA professor and a member of the American College of Surgeons.
What we're finding now is that hospitals are not delaying because they know they can still give care, which is the principal reason that hospitals are there.
But some hospital workers say elective procedures should be canceled to conserve protective equipment and free up staff. At UC Davis Medical Center, spokesperson Steve Taliano says it's a day-by-day decision.
So we'll take half a floor, we'll close it, and make sure it's converted to COVID-19 care. So as we have more patients, we do that on more floors of the hospital, or if less space is needed, then we unconvert those spaces and use them for other things.
When hospitals did limit procedures, many reported losing major revenue and having to lay off or furlough staff. But if COVID hospitalizations continue to rise, it could happen again. Dignity Health recently canceled elective surgeries at two of their hospitals in Bakersfield. In Sacramento, I'm Sammy Caola.
A teenager in the Central Valley has died from COVID-19, according to California health officials. This is the first death of a young person from the virus in the state. Cap Radio's healthcare reporter Sammy Caola has more.
This person was between ages 12 and 17, but the state won't provide more exact information due to patient confidentiality. The teen did have underlying health conditions. The death of a Southern California teenager back in March was originally linked to COVID-19, but that was later changed. There have been no reported deaths in children under age 12. In California, people under 18 make up 9% of cases, while people ages 18 to 34 make up 35%. Initially, the virus was thought to mostly pose a threat to older adults and people with existing medical conditions. Health officials in several California counties have said younger people going to beaches and backyard parties is a main cause of the recent uptick. Sammy Caola, Cap Radio News.
Once a year, scientists release data about how Lake Tahoe is changing. This year, they found the lake lost 8 feet of clarity and partly blame it on trillions of tiny shrimp. But as Cap Radio's Ezra David Romero reports, researchers have an answer. Dog treats.
Just a mention of Mises shrimp to Jeffrey Schlatto makes him smile. That's because UC Davis researchers have found a way to rid Lake Tahoe of trillions of them.
The Mises themselves very rich in omega-3 fatty acids.
Schlatto directs UC Davis's Tahoe Environmental Research Center and says the shrimp were put into the lake on purpose to feed trout, but the shrimp flourished. They eat zooplankton that naturally consume things like algae that cloud the lake. That's an issue because the effects of climate change are also clouding the lake. The idea Schlatto is so happy about starts with harvesting these shrimp with boats and nets. Then using the shrimp, which are high in omega-3 fatty acids, as a main ingredient for dog treats.
And we found out that turning it into dog treats, we can actually make money on it.
If successful, the dog treat idea, he says, would break the cycle between climate change and declining clarity, and could be a tool for lakes with similar issues around the globe. In Sacramento, I'm Ezra David Romero.
Officials are urging drivers to slow down after four bears were struck by vehicles and two killed in Yosemite National Park in recent weeks. The surviving bears were believed to be seriously injured after being hit by vehicles going faster than the 25-mile-an-hour speed limit. National Park Service estimates over 400 bears have been hit by cars in Yosemite dating back to 1995. Wildlife protection zones were established for motorists to slow down and help protect animals. Yosemite is open during the coronavirus pandemic, but only to guests who make reservations.